Jolly old Saint Nicholas. What is it that makes Santa, the word means saint, what is it that makes Saint Santa Nicholas full of joy? When Jesus is proclaimed as Lord, and when he is served by taking care of the needs of the poor. The reason we hang stockings at Christmas time is so that we remember that Christmas is all about Jesus, and Jesus says that we meet him when we serve the poor, when we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, when we shelter the homeless. We are in fact serving Jesus and proclaiming his love to the world. Saint Nicholas, or Santa, is all about Jesus. Saint Nicholas, who died on December 6, 343 AD, spent his whole life telling others about Christ and used all of his wealth and money, because he grew up in a wealthy family and he became an orphan when he was a teenager, but he grew up learning the Bible and learning about being a follower of Jesus, so he wanted to use everything God had given him, his whole life and everything he had, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. Now, if some of you are like I am, you probably remember that you used to be able to go to a Kmart during the month of December, and standing out front of the Kmarts where the Targets, etc., would be the big metal red kettles. And oftentimes, the one ringing the bell was Santa, reminding us that the best way to prepare for Jesus and the gift of Christmas is by taking care of the poor in his name. Bell ringing with the Salvation Army, a way of being a messenger or a Santa or a saint. All of us are called to be Santas. The word Santa or Sanctus means saints. We've been set apart, called by God, made holy through the blood of Jesus so that we can live lives of holiness to the praise of God in the name of Jesus. That is what God has set us apart to do and to be. In the words of our first reading for tonight from Malachi, offerings of righteousness. In the words of Paul to the church at Philippi, the work or the fruit of righteousness. A Santa of sorts appears in our gospel reading for tonight. John the Baptist was a saint. He was set apart, made holy by the grace of God, and he was called by the word to go out and preach. And John the Baptist went throughout all of Judea preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And John the Baptist, when all the crowds came out to them, didn't pull punches. You probably noticed in our gospel reading for tonight, John kind of put it right out there in their faces. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? I mean, talk about winning friends and influencing people, huh? But he didn't pull any punches. John the Baptist was a saint. He was a Santa. And saints are called to bear witness to the word of Christ as they've been called by God. And he did that. He knew that people were flocking out there just trying to cover the bases. He said, don't rely upon your credentials. You want to say, well, I'm a child of Abraham. Or I was baptized years ago. Well, what does baptism mean for daily living? Martin Luther says it means that my sinful self, with all of its evil deeds and desires, should be drowned in daily repentance, so that day after day, a new self should arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. Offerings of righteousness, fruits of repentance, fruit of righteousness. God has made us saints, each of us little Santas, so that we can proclaim the name of Jesus in word and in deed, so that we can hang the stockings and remember the poor and what God has already given us, rather than what we're going to get. How can we give the love of Jesus to others? John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And when he preached to the people, they all said to him, what shall we do? That's a good Advent question, isn't it? As we light two candles and wait for Messiah. A good Advent question, what shall we do? Now, I don't know if you noticed in our gospel reading for tonight, but John the Baptist basically says, well, it's so simple, I hate to even talk about it. Take an inventory, he says. How many of you have two jackets? You can only wear one, give the other one away to somebody who doesn't have a jacket. I mean, what could be simpler than that? You've got two bags of groceries? Then give one away. If you're a tax collector, then stop ripping people off and taking large commissions. Only collect what you're supposed to. Collect what's fair rather than what the market will bear. Downsize your house, your car, your wardrobe, so that the hungry, the homeless, the poor can be fed and clothed. And Jesus said, as you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. It's pretty simple, isn't it? John says. That's the life of a santa, of a saint, of somebody that's been set apart and made holy by the blood of Jesus and that dies and rises, emerges from the waters of baptism every single day. You've heard of secret santas? In Kansas City, there's a tradition there that's been going on for a long time. And every year around Christmas, people that are in need, all of a sudden they find this envelope that has a crisp $100 bill in it. And they go, oh my goodness, this is a godsend. Where did this come from? And people have wondered in Kansas City, like, who's the source of this generosity? And a few years ago, they actually tracked the guy down. He wanted to do it in secret because that's what santas do. That's what St. Nicholas did. You do it in secret so that God gets the glory and you don't get the pat on the back. In 1971, there was a gentleman who was unemployed as a salesman. And things got so bad that this man, who later became the secret Santa, was living out of his car. And he had no food to eat, and after going for 2 or 3 days, he was starving. So he went into the diner in Houston, Mississippi, and he ordered a nice big meal. And he had absolutely not even a penny to pay for it. He had no idea how he was going to pay for the meal. He was thinking the whole time he was eating it, you know, how am I going to get out of this, or what am I going to have to do? But he was so hungry. The bill comes. He goes kind of searching in his pockets, you know, like all of a sudden like he forgot his wallet or his money's missing. The owner of that diner had already sized this man up. He comes walking over to the table. He bends down and he says, is this what you're looking for? Your $20 bill? The owner had put that $20 down there and gave it to him. And he was able to pay the bill and have a little bit extra money besides. The man who is the source of this secret Santa in Kansas City, he said, I never forgot that. And he said, now God has blessed me with a thriving business. I want to remember the people who are in the same place now of where I used to be, because it's not fun. And I want them to know that there's somebody that cares and that is walking with them to bless them. That's what John the Baptist, this kind of Santa of sorts, is proclaiming in the wilderness and throughout all of Judea when the crowds come to them and they want to know, so what exactly does it mean to have a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? What does it look like? And John the Baptist says, it's really simple. Just take an inventory. We've all got more than we need. And there are always those that have less than they need. And that's what Christmas is for, to celebrate the incarnation and the birth of Messiah, the one who came, the one who comes, the one who's coming again, the advent of our God. Not to just simply get all kind of bent out of shape and fussing about all the tasks that have to be done because we're counting down the days until Christmas, but to do like Nora said. Grandma and Grandpa came from Tacoma, so at Thanksgiving they had Christmas. And we opened some presents when we were out with Joshua in Connecticut. It's okay to celebrate Emmanuel, our Lord and Savior, His birth, the good news of our salvation. It's okay to celebrate that 365 days out of the year. And then to have days like December 6th, the Feast of St. Nicholas, or the hanging of stockings, or some tradition, the placing of your shoes tonight outside of your bedroom door or outside of your house, sometimes filled with a carrot or a little bit of hay, in hopes that St. Nicholas, riding his horse, would have some food and that he might sweeten your life with some of those coins, so that you can remember to sweeten the lives of other people with all the gifts that God has blessed you with. Jolly old St. Nicholas. What is it that makes God jolly, cheerful, happy, really upbeat? When we celebrate the gift of His Son by serving the least of these who are in need. So you see, Advent's a good time to ask that question, isn't it? What shall we do? When St. Nicholas, because he was in a wealthy family, had traveled around the world, he saw poverty and he saw hardship and difficulty. And then all of a sudden, with a plague or some kind of a dreaded disease, his mom and his dad both die. All the money in the world couldn't save them from a health crisis in their life. And he's a teenager, and he's asking, what should I do, God, with my life? And what should I do with all this wealth that you blessed our family with? And God spoke to him and said, you need to be a pastor. He didn't ask to be a bishop, but God appointed him to be a bishop of Myra, modern-day Demre, Turkey. And he used all of his wealth to serve the poor. And others brought their wealth to him so that he could distribute it to people in need. And that's what the church has always done, taking care of the poor in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We bring that good news to those who are in need, and we also bring the gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. St. Nicholas, he provided dowries for the daughters of a poor man. He had three daughters. St. Nicholas went in 325 AD, summoned to a council of the church by Emperor Constantine, who had become a Christian and made Christianity the religion of the empire. And he, along with 300 other bishops and pastors and priests, church leaders, were summoned to come to Nicaea because there was a question, who is Jesus Christ? And St. Nicholas was orthodox and confessional. He said he's of the same substance as the Father. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. But there was a heretic. We think heresies are new today. In the 21st century, they've been around all the time. There was a leader of the church, a bishop by the name of Arius, and he had other followers, and he said, no, Jesus was really a good man. In fact, he was the best man that ever lived, and because he lived such a good life, God decided to adopt him as his son. But he wasn't of the same substance. He was of another substance, not the same as God. Things got so intense in this debate of the church leaders that St. Nicholas, he didn't always maintain his calm and his cool. In the midst of this heated debate, he walks up and to Arius, and he goes whack across the face. Well, Constantine had him removed and locked up. And he said, you can come out and continue in this debate as long as you apologize first, which he reluctantly did because the faith of the church was at stake. Can you imagine? You know, some of you probably have the traditions where instead of hanging stockings or the shoes outside the bedroom door or something like that, you maybe have mistletoe and people give a smooch underneath the mistletoe. Can you imagine if instead of the tradition of mistletoe and a smooch, we had the Christmas slap? You know, you walk up to people and say, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! But St. Nicholas knew that it was the truth of the gospel, that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one. And Jesus said it himself in the scriptures. The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. And we got the Nicene Creed. And tonight in our confession of faith, we're not going to do the Apostles' Creed. We're going to make a change. We're going to do the Nicene Creed instead tonight so you can see what was at stake. God of God, light of light, very God of very God. That's what was happening in 325 AD. This Saint Nicholas that we remember tonight, this Santa that reminds us of our own Santa, Sanctus, holy calling, was a defender of the faith, a defender of children, a protector of the weak and the vulnerable. And he always used the time and the wealth that God gave him to tell others about Jesus and to care for the poor in the name of Christ. In Philadelphia, which as you probably know is the poorest large city in the whole United States, this city of brotherly love. In Philadelphia, a man by the name of Mason left Wall Street and started Rose's Fresh Pizza so they could get good New York pizza in Philadelphia. One day, Mason says, somebody walked in and they said, I just heard on the radio how somebody was paying it forward at Starbucks with coffee. They said, here's some extra money. I want you to treat the guy behind me to a free cup of coffee. He said, I want to do that with pizza here at your place, Mason. Is that okay? And he said, what would it cost? He said, $1 a slice. So he gave him an extra dollar, and they put a post-it note up that said, redeemable for a free slice of pizza. And then it caught on. Other people came in and they saw this. If you're homeless, if you're on the street, people can go in there. They can always get a free piece of pizza. And there's this wall of multicolored stick-em things, you know, that say redeemable for a free piece of pizza. One guy had been coming there for 8 months to get a free piece of pizza. And all of a sudden, he didn't show up. He was out of work, unemployed. And Mason said, I was worried about him. I thought maybe something had happened to him. He said, all of a sudden, about 3 weeks later, he came in and he said, here's $10. I want you to put 10 of those post-it notes up there on your wall. He said, I got a job now. And I want to do for someone else what someone else has been doing for me when I was falling between the cracks. And then Mason said, you know what else I didn't think about? There's people that have been coming in. They were down to their last cent. They didn't have the money even for a piece of pizza. And some of them were thinking about going out and committing a petty crime, stealing some money so that they could feed their children. I didn't realize, he said, now his business, 10% of them is the post-it notes, you know, the redeemable slice of pizza. I didn't realize that we were actually helping to curb crime also. And it's just mushroomed. People of compassion, caring for their neighbor in need. Redeemable. We've been redeemed, not by a post-it note on a wall, but by the blood of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins. In him we are Santa. We are sanctified. We are holy. We are set apart to be like John the Baptist, to be like Saint Nicholas, to be like Jesus in our concern for and care of the poor in our midst. What shall we do? That's what they asked John the Baptist. John the Baptist and St. Nicholas said, just read the Bible. It's really simple. Read the Word and you'll know what God wants you to do. Santa, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, tonight we have a new song to sing. And